Let's be seated and go back to 1 Timothy for a moment. And our foundational text that has taken us into this faith masterclass. There are some things that I will say tonight that I have never said before, because I think there's an apostolic teaching on faith. I'll be teaching behind the Apostle Peter tonight. And I say to you on another setting, not that the apostle have so faith is more better than your faith. Everyone has the same opportunity to operate in faith, but the office and the instruction in dealing with the mystery of faith, I believe God would unfold it to an apostle as an apostle speak it out. So here in 1 Timothy 2:9 is a scripture we must go over and over again, very short scripture, but it talks about holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience, the mystery of faith. There are secrets, there are hidden truths, there are coded language that operates in the life of faith. And we have to let the Holy Spirit decode and give us revelation of the mystery of faith. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, you notice the word hold in there, hold in faith. In other words, in a good conscience, so conscience used in both verse, where some has put away concerning faith. They put it away. And you notice what happened when they do. They have made shipwreck. Now, I won't go to our golden text first tonight, because in teaching this master class on faith, and I want you to remember how to fully live in the realm of faith is the overall theme, how to fully live in the realm of faith. It's a certain realm of faith. But I want to ask a few questions and answer them and deal with a few things before we begin to undertake how to fully operate in like precious faith. How to fully operate in like precious faith. Now, in this Master Faith class, in which the Lord called it three or four lessons ago, it is known in Romans 2 and 11, if you would look there. I'm going to ask a question. Romans 2 and 11 probably would answer it for you, because I want to pinpoint something here, why some things are not functioning for some people and it's functioning for other people, or why we got so many different grades of faith operating in the church, one person living at one level, another person living at another level. I want to discover that and see what's the problem, and maybe I could teach or let the Holy Spirit reveal to us how many who need to catch up can catch up. If God is not a respecter of person, why people's blessings are so different? Yes, see, that can't, why? I mean, you know, good people love God, and the Bible says here 2:11, for there is no respecter of person with God. You see that? So the respecting of God toward a Christian is not determining how they're coming out. Now, in Hebrews 11 and 6, and this is very, you're going to be a master in faith. In Hebrews 11 and 6, these two things are going to really groundwork some insight on faith. Hebrews 11 and 6, and I'll make a statement. God is a respecter of faith and how it is used. He's not a respecter of person, you understand? But he's a respecter of faith and how it is used. Now, how it is used, I want you to hear that clearly, because it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, seek him. So properly using faith is seeking God more than anything else. So he's a respecter of faith and how we use it. Now, turn with me to a scripture, to Romans 12, Romans 12, 1, because I want to deal with something here to get you ready to step into like precious faith in its fullness. Did not he give every man the measure of faith? Yes. Look in Romans 12:3. Let's go to 3 and we'll come back to 1. Because now we're going to have to connect Romans 12:1-3 with mastering faith. But I think in there is the subject of faith. I think that the whole man has to be available to faith. He says, the third verse says, for I say to the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And so that's your conscience or your mind working with faith out of your soul. Now, in all my studies of faith, and I went to many schools of faith, and not many would bring the soul in on it or the thoughts in on it. Matter of fact, they were talking about the heart. Actually, they were talking about the soul and thought they were talking about the spirit in a lot of classes, all right? But I want you to see in this verse, because I'm about to say something that is shocking, before we go to our major text. For I say to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now notice what he says here. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. If God dealt to every man the same measure of faith, what's the problem? See, why some men live in lack, why some men live in sickness and disease, why they can't get up off the ground if God dealt to every man the measure of faith. So I'm saying that in Romans 12:1-2, God is working on you to operate in faith properly. He's telling you in Romans 12:1 I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, holiness has a whole lot to do with the strength of faith. Wow. Yes, sir. You see, holiness, just having the word and not letting the word cleanse you and convict you and control you is dangerous to God. So God don't know how much he can trust you with. Because he don't want to be a part of your destruction. So there are certain things he can't let you have if you're not going to present your body to him. And then he goes on in the second verse now. And we're talking about, before I go into like precious faith, I want you to understand these things. You present your body, verse 2, Romans 12:2 now. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, you know you're dealing with your soul now, that your soul can connect properly with your spirit. And then he goes in the third verse and talks about your spirit. And so he points out here that God gave every man the measure of faith, but it's how man learned to handle faith. Then we have in Galatians 2:20, remember, go a little fast, living by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20, then Acts 17:28, give us three things, and faith got to be functionalizing in all three. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. Faith is functioning now. Now, here's one going to ring a bell in heaven, on earth, in every denomination. Faith is the carrier of the image and likeness of God. So when you are made in his image and his likeness, he gave you faith to function in his image and his likeness. So faith is not just a teaching. Faith actually carries the character of God. In giving us faith, God gave us himself and tell us to build yourself up in me. In other words, whatever you need to happen, supernaturally, miraculously, faith can cause it to happen because faith and I are synonymous. God said to me, I put myself in faith. and gave faith to men that men can study me and learn how to operate in faith. Amen. Amen. So faith, Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Genesis, turn there. I can't go, because I'm just going to teach these master classes that the Spirit leading me. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. I taught along this line this morning. I hope you were here. You missed a good one if you weren't. And God said, let us make man our image, our likeness, and let them have dominion. All right. Now, faith dominion is you operating in faith, taking that measure to another level. Constantly studying and watching how faith works, studying about faith, and you're constantly taking it to another level. And as you take it to another level, you're on your way to dominion. Faith should bring you to a place that you have dominion. Even when I talked about it this morning, when I talked about being fruitful, I talked about being multiplying, I talked about replenishing, I talked about subduing, I talked about going into dominion. All of that is in faith also. Wow. And so you read the 26 through 28 verse, then we get to our text. But then I'll make this statement. I want you to write this statement down. Faith dominion is God's possibilities functioning through you. Faith dominion is God's possibilities, plural, functioning through you. Now let's go to our text in 2 Peter. It's our golden text. We're preaching behind a servant and an apostle. And I want to just read. This is so powerful. I just want to read it to get you to a point to recognize that to operate in like precious faith, there are some things you must know, things you must do. Beginning at verse 1, Simon Peter, servant, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Now notice how they obtain it, because the next verse is going to tell it a different way. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see that? Now he said, obtain like precious faith. Now everybody have the same opportunity to operate in faith. The apostle, the prophet, the priest, the bishop, the pope can't operate in no more faith than you can if you study and apply yourself to the lesson of faith. But if you notice here, he tells us, obtain like precious faith. Then he says, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now he goes on a different route. He shows you another facet now, through the not the righteousness of God now. He said the knowledge of God. And he's not talking about the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about Jesus our Lord. That's, see, if you meditate and look closely on this, you think you're reading about the same aspect, but you're not. See, the righteousness of God, then he jumped to the knowledge of God. He talked about that grace and peace. That's another attribute of God, but it comes through the knowledge of God, and it comes through Jesus, our Lord, not just our Savior. All right? Then he goes on. He says, according to his divine power. Now, divine power cannot operate without faith. Divine power? Absolutely. Faith is the activator of divine power. And so you can study divine power, but you're still not going to come out. You study divine power, but faith is the functionizing factor of divine power. And the church need to know that. They need to move from one measure to a measure, to another measure. All right? Has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So faith does not just provide on the outside, or faith don't just provide things. Faith provides a certain lifestyle. Talk to me. Yes, sir. See. Faith don't just work on things. Faith work on people. Your life should change when faith is functioning right. Godliness should be on your lifestyle. How many see it in the scriptures? In the scripture now. He says, let me read verse 3 again. According to the divine power was given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, but it cannot. The thing that pertain to life and godliness cannot function in your life or my life without us knowing how to yield to the functioning of faith. Through knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. So he's called us to glory, but he's called us to a moral life. Yes. A holy life he's called us to. All right, I got to keep reading. Whereby, verse 4, are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. These exceeding precious and precious promises that lack precious faith obtained cannot manifest without faith. That by these you might be partaking of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, here are some things before I go any further. Here are some things that we must know about lack precious faith. Number one, that you do have it. You have it as a child of God. You do have it. Lack precious faith, I have it. Say it. So I can activate all those attributes there. I can activate the divine nature. I can activate godliness. I can activate things pertaining to godliness. I can activate exceeding great and precious promises. I'm a partaker of divine nature, and I could activate it by faith. So you do have it. You do have it. In other words, you said God dealt to every man the measure of faith. That measure was to lack precious faith. It becomes precious when you understand how great it is. All right? Where and how did you get it? Through the word of God. What are the ingredients in it? We just read. Divine nature, divine exceeding great and precious promises. Now, I wrote this to you. I want you to pay close attention. This is what the Spirit of God said to me in my time of study for this lesson. Powerful moments lie ahead in your life. As you increase in this knowledge of how precious your faith really is and how powerful your faith is over every situation. I'm going to read that again because that came by the Holy Ghost, all right? Powerful moments lie ahead in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you increase in the knowledge of how precious your faith really is. It's time over for faith pep rallies. And how powerful your faith is over every situation. The Apostle Peter, listen, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Leroy, want to open deeper looks at unfailing faith. Deeper looks at unfailing faith. The stick that the world is shaking at the church got to stop. And they're not going to stop until we stand up and operate in this lack precious faith as we should. And we're going to do it. I said we are going to do it. We're going to do it. That I thought operating in this lack precious faith as we should, then they will give the church more respect, give God more respect, because they know we're carrying the power. Yes, sir. In the book of Acts, that's why somebody joined the church. Them boys was carrying the power, man. They walk in a store, everybody gets saved. They walk in a store, everybody fall out. Power. Not routine. See? Y'all felt that? I felt the Holy Ghost come to help me. Nobody else in here helped me. I felt the Holy Ghost came up here when I was talking about that power, how powerful, lack precious faith is. See, if you have an instrument and don't know how to use it, right. You know, a guy come along and say, man, you don't know what you got here? You know? You don't know what you got here? Most of my cars, I never finish what it can do. I find buttons every day almost. What is this for? Something for my convenience. I don't know. I just get in there and start driving and hit the button I know, you know. And then the Lord emphasized this to me. Peter called himself a servant before he called himself an apostle in this letter. And it was to emphasize the apostle wants you to know you have the same faith he had. You understand? Yeah, you have the same faith he had. Your faith has potentials that never runs out. So, lack precious faith functioning in a lack precious plan. In other words, the precious plan that God had for us, you got to be able to operate in lack precious faith. You still here? All right, now here we go in this Master Faith class. Things that will make your faith more precious. I got it like this. Supplements for your faith. Like supplements for your body to give your body more energy. Well, there are some supplements here, Peter, showing us that will give your faith more energy, give your faith more life, make your faith live longer on a situation. When you're dealing with something, you know, sometimes your faith needs to extend. These supplement work on your faith cells and make them more stronger, and work on your immune, your spiritual immune system in your faith, that your faith can stand up in trying time when things not going right or things don't look right. Your faith still can work. So Peter pulls out these revelations here about faith. I mean, he pulled them out. He told us about grace and peace and divine power in the other verses. But when you get to verse 5, and I won't deal with these one by one, he says, after telling us all that, look at verse 3, according as his divine power was given unto all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. And then after all of that important, powerful revelation, he says, I want to tell you something else. Mm-hmm. This is powerful. I'll tell you why it's so powerful before I go into it. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 of the first chapter of 2 Peter. For if these things, the things we're about to teach about now, be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice verse 9 now. See, so some people's faith is suffocating today, Leroy, tonight, is because they don't know about these supernatural supplements, spiritual supplements that need to be added to their faith. Our job in this master class is to go through them one by one. I've studied them one by one and tell the importance of each one. I think it's 6 of them. But notice what that ninth verse said. The things that we're about to teach, the things that we need to add to our faith. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. So verse 8 and 9 is showing us why it's important what we're about to do in verse 5. And beside this, verse 5, given all diligence. Now what did he say next? And beside this, I mean verse 5. I can't hear you. What? Add to your faith. Add to your faith. What does add to your faith mean? Put something to it. It means add to your faith. It means that something else need to be put or revealed to your faith. Now listen, don't take this lightly. You may have read the scripture, but tonight a new government about to come over your faith. You about to add some ingredients to your faith that you'll never be barren. You won't ever lose a faith case no more. No matter what coming against you, no matter what it looked like, you will never lose again. You can't lose if you use precious faith properly. That's what the Apostle Peter is saying. Let's go beyond the church wall. Let's go beyond just Sunday morning. Let's go into the real nitty gritty of how powerful faith really is. I think we're going to begin to see more miracles, more signs, more wonder. You know, we have more reports after these days. And beside this, giving all diligence, and look, giving all diligence is not no light word. It means put all you got into it. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue. What is virtue? This, I'm going to give you two words now. This is powerful. And people got a tendency to play with this. Moral goodness. Moral goodness. Behaviors showing high moral standards. Good God Almighty. Now, what? See, because in that, Satan can't call God on the carpet when you're trying to use your faith. You see, Satan can't say, well, she did this. No, God said, she didn't do that. Get back. Let her go. Get your hand off her. Get out of the way. See, because Satan have, against your faith, Satan has no court case. In other words, when you add virtue to your faith, you annihilate the accuser. So the argument is over. He has to go stop somebody else's faith because he can't stop your faith because your faith is walking, your life is in moral goodness. Behavior showing high moral standards. Add that to your faith. I thank God. Through the grace of God, I've seen this time that the enemy tried to tell you something not going to work. You laugh at him because he don't have nothing on you. Oh, when that rascal got something on you, boy, he holds everything down. He knows he got a right to hold it down. See, because you can't go into full conviction because you haven't made full confession. Got something on you. He's an accuser. But oh, we're getting them off our faith now with virtue. We add virtue to our faith. I got to have moral goodness. I don't just speak the word. I got to let the word cleanse me. I got to let the word reside on the inside of me. I got to let the word determine how I'm going to live. Then my faith can work. And demon power can't trap my faith no more. I'm clean. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. I'm righteous. See, because faith has to have, for lack of a better word, for these younger people, righteousness dancing all the time around it. And righteousness can't dance if you don't confess your sin. Ooh. Now, a lot of things people are trying to go after, they can't get it because their faith is not strong enough because they don't have no virtue to it. He said, add to your faith. You don't have that moral goodness. So you're trying to operate in it, but you don't have this. That ingredient is not giving you the strength you need. High moral standard. Ooh, what a day this to preach in. High moral standard. Man, ain't no time for no two men to be kissing.
Amen.
What? Two women to be kissing?
Amen.
What is this? The next thing that you have to add, give all then add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Now Peter talked about knowledge up earlier, about how important knowledge is, you see. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, he really tells us how important knowledge is. Because knowledge, you got to know what is the hope of your calling, what your inheritance, Ephesians 1, your inheritance, and what is the exceeding greatness of the resurrection power that you have to back you up. Your faith need to know that. Your faith, then Philippians 3:10 said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Knowledge to know that nothing or whatever couldn't hold Jesus in the grave can't hold your faith down. See, you got to have that knowledge. You see, I pray that prayer often in Ephesians 1, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding might be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the inheritance. I want to know what my calling is. I want to know my inheritance, and I want no power to back me up to walk in it, in my calling and in my inheritance.
That's good.
Your faith needs to know that.
Yes.
Your faith needs to know that it's propped up by resurrection power. Now notice this knowledge. Let me give you some things on knowledge. Moral wisdom. moral wisdom, such as is seen in right living, belonging to the most advanced. To become acquainted with, to know, understand, perceive, have knowledge of. Knowledge. In other words, knowledge. Add knowledge to your faith. Your faith, not out there naked. Your faith, know it has. I have a right to walk on this street. I have a right to go through this gate. I have a right to lock this door. See, knowledge. You can't go beyond knowledge. We're not talking about academic knowledge now. We're not talking about science. We're not talking about psychology. We're not talking about academic. We're not talking about mathematics. We're talking about revelation. Revelation knowledge. You got to add knowledge. When you have revelation knowledge to your faith, I mean, all the things that God had permitted me to do, that revelation knowledge has been such a beautiful thing to my faith. I can trust God more, you know. Let me try to get through them. Hallelujah. And to knowledge, what? Come on, y'all get your Bible. To knowledge what?
Temperance.
Now, what is temperance? Not blowing your cool because they're not going your way. How many have done that? I blowed it. Got to get back in the truck and get on my knees again. Let me give you some self-control. In other words, you can't let the attack attract you from who you are. So when you got temperance, the vitamin of temperance flowing through your faith, you know, oh, I know what that is. I'm going to stay still. I still got this thing warm. He coming at you. Self-control. It says one who master his desire and passion. One who master his sensual appetites. Words came when you say temperance, add to your faith. Mastering. Controlling, curbing, restraining. All that got to be in your faith. Strong in a thing. Fixed in a position. Dominion, might, power, and strength. All of that in temperance. And the third thing to add to your faith. One who masters it, self-control. You heard me? Self-control. One who masters his desires and passion. See? Because the enemy is going to try to throw you when you're on faith, you see. He handled his sensual appetite. Anybody know anything about that? We ain't talking about food. Maybe it's his sensual appetite, just flesh. And then he got words such as these words. When you were studying to be a master in faith, mastering, controlling, curbing, restraining. Faith know how to do that. Strong in a thing. Fixed in a position. That's the way faith got to be. As temperance can do that, you see. And dominion, might, power, and strength. You're adding all that. When you add temperance to your faith, you're adding all that. Are y'all still here?
Yeah.
Then the next is patience. Patience. Your faith needs patience. And a kindred word to that is endurance. Steadfastness. Consistency, perseverance, cheerful, patient, You're just waiting on it. Just waiting on it. Just sitting there waiting on it. Waiting on it. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith by even the greatest trials and suffering. It means to remain, to undergo, to abide. When we talk about patience. Ooh, Jesus, you heard that? Endurance, steadfastness, consistency, perseverance, cheerful. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and loyalty to faith by even the greatest trial and suffering. See, we had James 1 right now. Count it all joy in the four and beer trial, temptation, knowing this, that trying your faith with patience. I like this, to remain, to undergo, abide. It means to preserve under misfortune and trial, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. It means to endure, bear bravely and calmly ill treatment. Boy, you got all that to add to your faith, man. Huh? Your faith is nothing. Then we add godliness. Godliness to your faith. Holiness. Reverence. Respect. Dutiful. Acting well. Acting well. Acting like you're a Christian. It means to be well off. Godliness. For farewell. Prosper. To revere. To worship. That's godliness. You add that to your faith. Now, I'll just tell you, I've enjoyed this for many years. I'm preaching, that's why I'm so happy that I can share it. But I've enjoyed this for many years, this lifestyle. I'm not saying I'm the only one, a lot of people, but I'm top 10 to 5 Leroy here now. I've enjoyed this. These ingredients have been added to my faith. And then you got brotherly kindness, love of the brethren, the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Oh, you got to add all that to your faith. And then the last one was charity. And you know, 1 Corinthians 13 tell you, you can do all that cutting up you want, but if you don't have love, you're nothing, right? So he's talking about affection and goodwill. Now, when in my closing and seeing that, my brothers and sisters, when we talk about operating in this like precious faith, adding these, I think it's six ingredients, these seven ingredients, adding these ingredients to our faith, I try to give you a definition of all of them to know what they mean. Now, let me read in closing the fifth verse again. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, underline that, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, love. Now, this apostle is bringing faith to another level. He has seen some things. In the eighth verse now, look at this eighth verse. Now, after we added these things, for if these things be in you, what thing? Those six things, seven things you added to your like precious faith. If these things be in you, now you know always if they be not. When you say if these things be in you, you know it, right? Right. And I tell you right now, the average Christian don't have that. This teaching going to make a lot of Christians sit down and meditate and say, what? I see what's messing my faith up. I get hot too fast. He'll send people to you to get you hot, you know. You actually, if you're not repenting four or five times a day, something got you. Yeah. So I repented this morning. Yeah, but you know, messed up nine times since. Because nobody really liked to do it. You know, they say, oh, I really did that. Yeah, you did it. For if these things be in you, oh my God, look what he said next. Not just on Sunday. Abound. You know what abound means? Huh? Take up residence, right? So not just being, so now, not being in you, because you don't know you're supposed to add this to your faith. That's one level. Being in you is another level. Staying in you is another level. Yeah. Abounding, in other words, live with it. It's a lifestyle. Virtue is a lifestyle. Knowledge is a lifestyle. Godliness is a lifestyle. Ooh, Jesus. He said, but if these things be in you and abound, look what he said next. The next three words. They make you. That you should never be barren. Never be barren. My faith will never be barren again. Nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to say, why a lot of people not, faith not being masterful, but he that lacks these things is blind. Blind faith. It's like precious faith blind. And cannot see afar off. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Come on, Junior, I'm about to close. And had forgotten that he was purged from his sin. Now that's very important there, you know. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteousness has a tendency to make you strong. When you know you're in right standing with God, and you know you're a righteous woman or you're a righteous man of God, that's why Daniel and all those boys were so powerful. They knew they wasn't perfect, but they're walking in the righteousness of God. Had grace on their shoulder. Wherefore, the reverend brethren, give diligence to make your call. No, verse 8, 9. But he that lacked these things, blind, cannot see afar, had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the reverend brethren, give diligence. That word, give diligence again, it's starting verse 5. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall what? Never fall, never fail to receive what you're going after. Amen. Or what you're trying to do. For so an entry should be ministered unto you, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that is so powerful. And I'm closing. Want you to know these three, mutual faith in Romans 1:12, write it down, mutual faith, precious faith, 2 Peter 1:1, Titus 1:4, common faith, and then 2 Corinthians 4:13, it talks about the spirit of faith. We'll get back in this faith class on Sunday. God bless you. Great class on Sunday.